This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Shamila, and we are talking about jobs now. More specifically, how there appear to be more jobs in the country than there are job seekers. This is coming from a report in the Malaysian Insight, in which the Malaysian Employers Federation Executive Director Shamsuddin Bardan said that there were more than 700,000 job vacancies, but 400,000 job seekers in 2020. So that just gives you some idea of the ratio and contrast that we're talking about.
So this is interesting, right? Because the last year, we've heard of many people worrying about job security, but knowing that there were actually a surplus of positions being available, I think that would surprise many people, because particularly when you look at the positions that there were openings for and where that surplus is coming from, we're looking at a range of things, really, from managerial positions to technicians, associate professionals, clerical support, sales and service, skilled agriculture, forestry, livestock, fishery workers. And so the Malaysian Employers Federation is actually urging young graduates to take these available jobs to gain experience. What that got me thinking was where the gap is. Why are these jobs not being taken up?
I wonder how much of it has to do with specific industries and you not being trained for that industry. Because even if there is a managerial position somewhere that in an industry that you've never thought you were trained to work in, you may not consider to apply. I wonder also whether we've talked about this before. I think sometimes looking for jobs costs you money. And they cost you money that you could be making if you were delivering food, if you were doing any number of things that we currently have in the gig economy to be earning money on a daily basis. And I think in times where, basically in tough times, I think sometimes that's a consideration people have to make.
I think the gig economy is a really interesting one in the context of this conversation, because there is that perception that younger people prefer to take on jobs that are from the gig economy, right? Jobs that are more readily, that offer more flexibility, that also offer less investment in terms of, as you said, having to commit to a full-time job, having to put in that kind of investment, whether it's needing to sit down and buy equipment so that you can apply for a job, or buying clothes so you can attend interviews. I wonder whether it's also a shift away from this idea of formal jobs versus working in informal or gig-based jobs.
Yeah. And I think also there's just the question of what this means for the economy. The fact that there are so many jobs available, and there are also, while there are more jobs than there are job seekers, that's not to downplay the fact that there's also a lot of job seekers. There are also a lot of people currently looking for employment, and that's reflected in some ways in our unemployment rate. So we'd like to know what your thoughts are on this when it comes to this mismatch between jobs and job seekers. What might be leading to this? If you have thoughts or questions, you can send them our way. And now joining us over Zoom, we have Kelvin Cheng, analyst in the economics program at ISIS Malaysia. Kelvin, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
So what can you tell us about these numbers? What would lead to job openings vastly outnumbering job seekers?
Right. So I confess I've not gone through the data set quoted by the Malaysian Employers Federation, and I'm not sure about the data set that they're using, but according to monthly labor force survey data and according to quarterly employment statistics released by the Department of Statistics, my own figures for the latest available period are about 176,000 vacancies and about 783,000 unemployed workers, so which is job seekers, right? Mm-hmm. So by my numbers, I'm not entirely sure that this whole narrative of, you know, oh, there's so many jobs and workers are being picky, I'm not sure the whole narrative is entirely true. And please, I would love to be corrected if my calculations are mistaken. But look, even if there are more jobs than job seekers, job seeking is not like going to buy apples, right? So if there are like 10,000 apples and only like 10 apple eaters, then apple eaters cannot complain about not having an apple to eat, right? So, but jobs are not like that, right? Jobs are not interchangeable. They're not fungible. And unlike apples, job markets are two-sided markets. Okay, so job markets requires both the demands of the buyers and sellers, which is the employers and workers, that you need to match, right? So when you're buying apples, the apple doesn't need to want you back. And because the impacts of COVID-19 on the types of jobs affected was so vastly unequal. In a report titled "Push to the Margins" recently, I documented how lower skilled or blue collar workers like trades workers, machine operators, saw very, very large employment losses, while white collar professional occupations like managers and professionals actually saw gains from the crisis. So since these job losses were largely concentrated in lower skilled jobs and job gains are concentrated in higher skilled jobs, there is now potentially a deep divide between the kinds of jobs available and the kinds of workers who were affected by the COVID crisis and who have become unemployed. So this whole narrative of there are so many jobs kind of undermines and hides the reality that Malaysia's labor markets are in bad shape right now. And the latest data suggests that there are about 264,000 or so more unemployed workers versus a pre-crisis average. And even worse, beyond unemployment, there are over 203,000 workers, something around there, that have exited the labor force entirely, right? They don't even show up at unemployment figures and they do not account for the unemployment rate. So the impacts of the pandemic on workers are far from over, right? And these kind of narratives, I think, sort of miss the point a bit.
So I'd like to get you to expand on that a little bit in terms of that mismatch between the kinds of jobs that are available and the kinds of candidates that are in the market. What is causing that mismatch? And, what is the consequence of this?
Right. So, I mean, there are a lot of causes of the mismatch, and this has been even before the crisis, right? But I think the key point is that the crisis has really accelerated this mismatch. So I'm not sure if there's a detailed breakdown that I know of any of data set that really shows us both sides and what's lacking, what's not. But like I said, the jobs data since the beginning of 2020 showed that the job market impacts of COVID have been very, very different across different worker groups. And this has consequences to the types of workers that are seeking jobs right now, and also consequences on the types of jobs that are available right now. So like I said earlier, in terms of employment, there are about, right now, I'm looking at the figures, there are about 621,000 more tertiary educated workers who are employed right now compared to the end of 2019. And then there are 714,000 less non-tertiary educated workers employed, right? So it's basically the other way around, right? So the share of employed workers who are tertiary educated have suddenly accelerated since the onset of the pandemic. And the other way around is the workers who are non-tertiary educated, they have basically lost their jobs or pushed out the labor market entirely. And as such, whether you're still employed or not depends a large part on your level of education, right? So then who is unemployed? Who is looking for a job? And who is pushed out of the labor market? And is this people with lower educational attainment, right? So in my report, I show that not only it's not only about lower educated workers, it's right, women, youth, less educated workers, these are all vulnerable worker groups, right? And in general and on average, they have faced employment losses many, many more times higher than the average older or male or higher educated workers. And also I'm disproportionately more likely to exit the labor force entirely. So that means they've given up even trying to look for jobs. So just looking at unemployment alone is so likely to be misleading, because a lot of these workers who were most deeply affected, especially younger women, especially lesser educated workers, they have exited the labor force and do not show up in unemployment statistics. And so looking at unemployment alone will underestimate these impacts.
Now, from a larger economic point of view, this might seem like a simplistic question, but when it comes to employment and the kinds of jobs that are available, what matters more? Is it quality or is it quantity?
That's a good question, and I think it might be one of those things that's like a false dilemma, right? Because obviously both sort of matter in their own way and to a different extent. So obviously on the employer or labor demand side, we want to create jobs, enough jobs in the first place, right? So that's a quantity thing. We want to create enough jobs in the first place to meet all the labor supply or workers that the economy is producing. So that's the quantity side. And then going back to the apple analogy from earlier, all jobs are not created equal, right? So there are different types of jobs, and some jobs are more secure, they're better. Some jobs are more precarious and more insecure, gig work. So the other thing is we want quality as well, right? We also want to create the types of jobs that matches the relative skills and characteristics of our labor supply or our workers. And the last thing is, finally, as our country and economy continues to develop and grow, and as we continue to move up the development ladder, we also want to gradually improve the level of sophistication and skills and knowledge that our labor supply, our workers have, and also improve the level of high skill jobs that we create. So I think it's kind of the thing where you hear people say, you know, quantity versus quality. And in truth, you sort of need both and in the right amounts to sort of play the game well, right? And in my view, we could pay more attention on building up our labor market institutions, you know, focusing on the welfare of workers, making sure their rights are protected and their wages are adequate, rather than just focusing on what kind of, you know, jobs are we producing, quantity or quality or otherwise.
So let's briefly talk about My Future Jobs, right? Which is an initiative run by the Human Resources Ministry to help with recruitment. How effective do these initiatives tend to be?
Right. That's a good question. So I'm not too familiar with the exact specifics of the new initiatives under My Future Jobs. I understand under the Pemerkasa package, there have been a few changes to a lot of the pre-existing initiatives. But from what I know, it is one of the active labor market policy components that is partly administered by the good folks at Perkeso or SOXO. And there are, of course, other various active labor market policy components under the employment insurance system, including training fees and such. And I think overall, these kinds of active labor market policies can be incredibly effective if implemented well. So I think research internationally shows that active labor market policies help a lot in decreasing both cyclical and structural unemployment, you know, of course, if appropriately managed. So in this regard, I think that that these policies are incredibly important, and they can also help especially the lower skilled workers and people on the lower end of the education scale meet the changing demands of the workforce.
You know, we've been talking a bit about different types of workers or different types of people attempting to join or getting discouraged by, frankly, joining right. the workforce. But I also want to look specifically, therefore, at graduates. With education disrupted, how are we seeing the talent pool affected?
That's a good question. And I think that in terms of education, most of the impacts will, of course, be felt by young people, who are most likely to be in education. And we know that for young people and young workers, they've already faced disproportionate employment impacts and really adverse labor market impacts from the COVID crisis. And also, beyond that, the evidence shows that there are huge long-term consequences to youth unemployment. So youth unemployment is already a pre-existing problem we had before crisis, and the crisis only made that worse. And we know that there are long-term consequences to higher youth unemployment, right? So there's a large body of evidence that suggests that being employed while young, especially for long periods, has very persistent and long-lasting negative effects on young people's future income, you know, future employment prospects, and even mental well-being. And this can persist for decades, even after the crisis is over, right? So the young workers obviously face greater, higher employment impacts than adults in the COVID crisis. You know, they're also likely to be in more precarious or cyclically sensitive jobs. So I think that in terms of being affected, they're one of the most severely affected groups.
Kelvin, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you so much.
That was Kelvin Cheng, analyst in the economics program at ISIS Malaysia, speaking to us about the mismatch, although whether these numbers are entirely accurate is now something we need to look at, but the mismatch between job vacancies and job seekers. And now we're heading to the news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.